Hare Krishna. Today I gave Bhagavatam class and I was continuing on from Niranjan Swami Maharaj's lecture yesterday. If you didn't read it or listen to it, because it was almost an hour long and there was also simultaneous translation going on, but it was about how Brahmins lose their tejas by accepting the role of priests for others, and of course how that relates to us as Vaishnavas and Vaishnava Brahmins. And at the end, a question arose, which for me was very interesting and something that could have been explored further, and that's what I'm going to do now. And that question really comes from Prabhupada's purport, although the subject throughout, and I even looked at Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, the subject throughout is that of accepting a Purohit, accepting a priest, and you accept a priest for different purposes, and especially in this case, the demigod's purpose was sense gratification, and to get back there, their abode and everything that came along with that. So both the purport and the text say that if one accepts the role of a priest, if a Brahmin accepts the role of a priest, then his Brahmin tejas or potency will decrease, which is naturally understandable, that you accumulate some material piety, and you use the potency of that piety, if you use the potency of that piety for your own or others' benefit, then you lose it. That's the nature of material things, sukha dukha samikritva. You get it, you lose it. Agama painon, it just it comes and it goes. But in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, when happens to use the word spiritual master, and he says that when one accepts the role of a spiritual master, then his piety decreases by accepting responsibility for a yajaman. Now, it's not completely black and white what spiritual master there means, but it certainly, Prabhupada's use of the word indicates, or at least indicates that we should use multiple interpretation. Yajaman is not usually the way Prabhupada refers to a disciple, and piety is not, it's a term that can be used for spiritual advancement or devotional service. Srila Prabhupada's statement can be taken that a Brahmin is a spiritual master, and then the word spiritual master there is just another way of expressing Purohit, which is in sort of full context with everything that's going on. But spiritual master for Srila Prabhupada is generally very clearly talks about Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru, or both. And it does require that we address the question, well, does the piety, in this case piety referring to spiritual advancement and spiritual attainment, does the spiritual attainment of a spiritual master decrease by accepting responsibility for disciples? My immediate response to that would be no. Krishna says, he says, in this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution. The acceptance of karma is a material thing. No way can karma either cause or bring to an end devotion or bhakti. Bhakti, sanjayati, bhaktya. Only bhakti gives rise to bhakti. And the devotional service cannot be neutralized by accepting karma. So, what does happen? Lord Chaitanya does, and Maharaj had mentioned yesterday, Lord Chaitanya warns us, Bahushishyana Karibe, don't accept many disciples. Why not? Why is it not good to accept many disciples? And my understanding for this is follows. I think there are two circumstances in which we do see spiritual masters getting affected by accepting disciples. First, when the spiritual master is a conditioned soul, he has his own anarthas to deal with. And those anarthas certainly don't diminish his own spiritual practices, but they cloud them. As the example that Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Haridas Thakur gives, the holy name is there, but unless one is actually chanting purely, which means if one is transcendentally situated, or almost so, then the clouds of anarthas block the full potency of the holy name. Similarly, one may perform so much devotional service, in other words, pious activities in the context of this purport, one may perform so much devotional service, the benefits of those devotional service are eternal. But one's own karma certainly makes access or getting the full benefit of those devotional activities a gradual process. It requires purification of the heart, eradication of the clouds and anarthas before the full benefit of chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, taking prasadam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, seeing the deity is fully manifest. And there's no question about it that when a spiritual master accepts a disciple, he accepts the karma of the disciple. Now, let's be clear about that, that the spiritual master doesn't accept 100% of a disciple's karma. I got enough problems with my own karma, what to speak of 100% of the karma of, say, 500 initiated disciples. So that's... But Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna gives a token. He gives a token for different reasons. Because everyone gets a token of karma. Everyone in this material world, you can't get away with having karma. Husbands take wives' karma, wives take husbands, children, friends, every interaction, even just living in this country, I'm sharing the karma of another 10 million Hungarians. So there's no question of people not taking karma. So the guru takes karma, but karma becomes purified by chanting Hare Krishna, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by associating with Vaishnavas, Yani Kani Chappapani, by going around Tulsi Devi, and then ultimately Aham Tam Sarva Papevyo. It's Krishna who's burning it up. He's the one who takes the karma in through these different media. But the guru does accept some karma. So even if it's a token, whatever that token is, if that token is 1% of a disciple's karma and you've got 100 disciples, that means you've got twice as much karma, say, as your own. If you've got 1,000, then it's 10 times. If you've got 10,000, then it's 100 times. I certainly wouldn't want to be struggling with 100 times my own karma. So that then, although it certainly doesn't minimize my own devotional activities, and that karma will not neutralize spiritual activity, that's not possible, but the clouds certainly become thicker. So when we're accepting other karma, the clouds become thicker, the anarthas become more stirred up and agitated, And the overall effect is that it does influence the spiritual life of the guru. The effect appears to be that the spiritual life of the guru diminishes because he's faced now with so much more of a challenge in order to fully benefit from the devotional activities that he performs. And that's one way. And then there's the other. The other, in which actually accepting a disciple, and Maharaj also elaborated on this yesterday, where when accepting a disciple actually does diminish or even destroy your devotional creeper. And when is that? When the guru is an aparadi. If he commits nam aparad, then his spiritual creeper will be stunted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes this very clear. And Hatimata, and if he performs the elephant offense of Vaishnava aparad, then his devotional creeper can just be wiped out at the root. In other words, you can completely lose your devotional life, your spiritual life. What are the offenses involved? Accepting disciples for money, accepting them for name and fame. Maharaj really elaborated yesterday on the point of accepting many unqualified disciples or disciples who have no faith. Actually, this morning I was just listening to a class where Srila Prabhupada was talking to an Indian gentleman, and the man more or less raised the same point. He says, the Vedas are not meant to be taught to anyone, to Shudras, what to speak of Malechas. Because Prabhupada had said that his followers came from Malecha backgrounds. And Prabhupada said, yes, they're not. But my disciples aren't behaving like Malechas. They're not behaving like Shudras. They're following Vaishnav culture. In other words, they've taken at least to the minimum qualification, which qualifies them to hear. They're following Brahminical culture, actually speaking. So, similarly, if one doesn't care to raise one's disciples, make them qualified, and makes no effort to make them qualified, but just collects them for these other things, name, fame, money, reputation, then, well, of course, that's what name and fame is, then he commits an offense in that way. Or if the disciple becomes a real offender, an aparadi, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very strong about that. He said if the disciple is an aparadi, and the guru, if he can't rectify him, if he doesn't reject him, then the disciple goes to hell, and he says the guru goes to hell along with him. So very interesting, a lot of considerations here, and this is as far as I'm going to go, just in regards to whether the karma of disciples diminishes the spiritual strength of guru, but there's a lot of other things that we talked about also, which is whether the what it means that the potency of the Brahmins is decreased, I won't get into that now, and we'll continue tomorrow. Hare Krishna.